You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
All right, that's the Happy Mondays. This is an interview that I did with Bez. I think it was on the last day of the working year here at BFM, around the 21st of December. You'll have to excuse the poor phone line. He was on a mobile in the middle of the WAPS in the UK. So at some points he drops out a little bit, but you can get the general gist of what he's saying. Very stoked to, of course, talk to Bez. I guess one of the most iconic party animals out of the Manchester scene. I start this interview off by sort of prefacing it with a bit of Bez's history before he joined the Happy Mondays. So here we go. Hey, now Bez, just a little bit about you. I've done a quick scan of your history, and I'm just going to run through some of the stuff right from 1980, Bez, if that's okay.
Go on, mate, not a problem.
Okay, let's see. So you left school in 1980 at about 16. By 17, you were unemployed and living in a garden shed. You followed this up with the robbery of a golf club and got arrested and spent six months in a young offenders institute. Then you've burgled a house and got caught, spent 2 months in Strangeways prison before getting shipped off to a borstal in Wigan. All in all, you spent 18 months locked up. By 1984, you're back in Walkden. And then at some point you take off to Europe, where you end up living in a cave in Morocco once you've run out of money. Now, after that, you find your way back to the UK and you meet the Happy Mondays. What was that like, meeting those guys for the first time?
Well, I'd known them all from school days. We all went to the same school, so I actually knew most of the band beforehand. Sean, when I came back from abroad, everyone was telling me that I had to meet Sean because we'd get along like a house on fire. And so when we did actually first meet, put your lights on so this car can see you. So when we did actually first meet, we was a bit few of each other because we'd both been told that we would really get on. So it was like that, whether we would or not. But it ended up as a friendship that lasts till today.
All right, and now you guys are coming down to New Zealand to play Pills, Thrills, and Bellyaches. What was it like? Because you recorded that in California at Capitol Records. What was that recording session like? Did you feel like something was going to change or something big was on the horizon?
First of all, it was just great to be able to record a record in LA at Capitol Records, which is an iconic building at the end of Somerset Boulevard. I don't know, you see it on all the films, it's like a stack of records going up. And just to be recording there was an incredible feeling. We had 8 weeks in LA, so we had all the LA lifestyle, all driving about in Mustangs and everything else what came with the LA lifestyle. Yeah, it was an incredible moment in time. And not only that, we was sort of on the rise, so we'd been building this fan base, and the actual recording of that album, that still is into the mainstream music industry, where everybody at that time had heard of us.
Do you have a peak era Mondays for you, Bez? Do you have a favourite? Is there a favourite time in the Mondays history?
I'll never forget my first gig with the Mondays, because that was the life-changing moment for me, because before I was caught up in this lifestyle, because my old fellow was a policeman. All my teenage years rebelling against my father, who was a policeman. And the Happy Mondays, even though it was still an absolute brilliant, I'd put on the road what I'm so ever grateful for. I can't believe how lucky I am to have been involved in such a band and such a moment in time where we made a small piece of
of history. In the late 1980s, did it feel like you guys were spearheading a cultural revolution?
Well, you just don't know that at the start. When we first joined the band, we all obviously we thought it was the best thing since brown bread, you know. And we had a dream and believed that we were the best. But I think that is part of that. If you don't have that belief, then you shouldn't really be in a band. So we all believed that we was. But the reality was, we was really lucky for one that we signed from Factory Records, who allowed us to develop our musical style and develop as musicians and develop as a band, because these days your bands haven't got that anymore. We was like the last bastion of the old record industry, where you could get that support from a record company to develop the thing that was there. So we was really fortunate, because it's all about timing sometimes, and we was really lucky. We had good timing, good support from an independent record label, because we would never make it, you know. And we had Sony Wilson and Factory Records behind us.
Now, Bez, you guys were around when Ecstasy arrived in the UK. What was that like?
Well, again, it was that moment in time, because of social conditioning and everything else, we all thought that drugs was part of the answers, you know what I mean? Now we know that we don't drink, you know what I mean? But at the time, it was that moment where it was like a hallelujah moment for us, because suddenly that everything what we were trying to portray made sense to the rest of the world, you know what I mean? Because we so this ecstasy explosion and the dance culture what then came from it in Britain. So again, it was a really good timing for us. We've looked at timing and along with everything else what I spoke of before. So it played an important part in our development at the time.
And now there's so many styles crammed, so many musical styles crammed into the Happy Mondays records. Quite famously, you're a bit of a sounding board for the band. You're kind of like, yep, that's good. No, that's shit. And bin it. What was that writing and recording process like?
Well, for the Mondays, I don't know how it is with everything else. We used to get together in the practice room where we used to make our... And everything used to come out of it. So someone start jamming away. And the next minute, there's a song develops out of it. And sometimes it used to take 5 minutes to get a song. And sometimes it used to take days of jamming before we come up with something. And with Paul Oakenfold and Steve Osborne with their way of writing music, because we hit this new modern style, things develops a lot quicker, because he used to make loops and things like that, and he introduced us to a new way of writing. Well, yeah, it's all been a learning curve. But when we first started out as young band, you just get in the practice room, all get off our heads and just jam away for hours.
Do you have a favourite live experience? Performing live, obviously, the first couple of times, but well, you're a game changer. But...
Yeah, well, one of the things what I'll always remember for a live thing was the Dr. Rio. In Brazil, when we played in the Budokan Stadium in front of 198,000 people, but they weren't there for us, unfortunately. But that whole experience of we had backstage stuff and that we'd never been there before in Brazil. So all that whole experience playing with some of the greatest fans from around the world as well, because we were stuck in an old cell with Guns N' Roses, considered too rock and roll and wild to be put up with the rest of the artists in another old cell in Rio de Janeiro. But I think we showed them Guns N' Roses boys what rock and roll was at the time.
Yeah.
By wildness.
Yeah, nice. Now, you guys, obviously the last session that you guys did in Barbados is really, really infamous for the amount of mischief that you got up to. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if it's referred to as like a train crash, but was it at least a little bit fun at the time in Barbados?
Yeah, well, I was distracted. But for me, I thought that album was a really good album. I was working with Chris Weymouth and Tina and Chris Weymouth, who like I was massive talking. And what it was is because everyone with the album before was this brand new recording technique. No, it was like modern edge recording, and back. Everybody wanted that same sort of style recording.
Mm.
But for me, it was a great time. I had such a great time in Barbados. I thought we recorded a great album. It was like the stepping stones to the future, because that's when Kermit joined the band and Sean and Kermit worked together for the first time, which went on to become Black Drake. And I thought that experience, it's really good. And then when you listen back to that album, that's not a bad album. It's a really good album. Mm. Was working with great producers and like I say, was working with Talking Heads almost more. But you asked for, so where it got slated as off the journalists, because they wanted this modern sound.
Mm.
And everyone was disappointed that they didn't get this new modern production technique what we brought to the table with that. But I don't think it was as bad as a car crash as everyone says it was.
Yes.
But the reason why we didn't wait out for Oakenfold and Osborne at the time is because Factory Records were desperate for next record, because they needed money, because they'd moved into this posh bloody new label office, you know what I mean, what cost millions of pounds. And there was a lot of things that led to it and eventually led to the breakup of the Mondays as well, which was unfortunate, really, because it was a mistake as well, because everyone stayed calm and collective. And things would have worked out better, because the next album we wrote was the Black Grape album.
Yes.
And that should have been the next Happy Mondays album, really, you know what I mean? Which was one of our biggest selling albums ever. So it was just a collective panic from everyone's part. But for me, that album wasn't a bad album.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I enjoy listening to that album. I think it's a great album and well produced.
Mm.
But it wasn't what everybody wanted at the time, which was this modern dance production mix, indie mix, you know what I mean? Mm.
Yes. Now, there are some crazy hedonistic tales surrounding the band. It's hard to believe that you guys kept it together. What bound everyone together while you were just in this crazy party zone? And why didn't the wheels not fall off earlier?
It's because we're all working class lads and we was living the rock and roll dream. And because of artistic, you could even call it part of the mind control program, because that's what they wanted people to behave like, because we believed that that was the way you should behave, because we're following our heroes from the Stone Roses, the roll history, what came before us. That's what we wanted for ourselves, and that's how we wanted to live our lives. So in a way, we was like really lucky to be able to live. our lives and live the way we have done, because that was my faith and blessed struggle. So, it's just an unfortunate set of events what made us do good. So with better management, I thought, and nurturing, we would have got through that breakdown and do some of the again, which we did do anyway. So, but yeah, we was living the rock and roll dream and the rock and roll lifestyle. That's what we dreamt of, and we was doing it, we was having it. What more can you can ask for as young men to be and doing what you've dreamt of doing since you was like young teenagers, like this wild, bloody, debauched rock and roll lifestyle.
Now, you're down in Auckland, you've got two shows down here. How's the live show at the moment? Is there anything, you know, that is
the
new?
The live shows, we've got no new stuff. Hopefully, we've got new stuff on the way. I think we're playing that album. I forgot the, what's it called?
Pills, Thrills,
and Bellyache.
Yep.
Yeah, we're putting that out. What I can promise you is the people of New Zealand, when they come to see us, you've actually seen the band at its best now, because... we actually understand what we're doing. That was playing, which was all learning when we were young men. And we're off at a step off. So you're getting us our best, to be truthful. So you're going to see the Mondays at their very best.
The Mondays at their best.
Got any subtitles? Oh.
There's a crackly phone line, but you can kind of
Gains. Yeah,
definitely sounds working class. Yeah, that's for sure.
He's not mucking around. I don't know if you caught the front end of that, but he was headed on the path of a career criminal when he kind of met these guys and he really struck out. That was Bez from the Happy Mondays, their percussionist and dancer. The Happy Mondays are playing Wednesday, the 27th of February. There's about 150 tickets left for that. Thursday, the 28th of February, has sold out at the power station. And as someone rightly pointed out, the Happy Mondays do a bloody good cover. One of the best, actually.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.